Welcome back into Hawks Talk, your source for everything about the Upper Valley Nighthawks. Perhaps the final episode of this season, but stay tuned for that. And if the Nighthawks make the playoffs, we might be talking to you again. But we'll keep focused on the present and the past right now. Ian Binkie, Ali Wenskowski, Megan Robinson, and an interesting week, shall we say, for the Nighthawks. On a six-game losing streak right now, but that really doesn't tell the whole story. A ton of close games.
It really doesn't. I mean, the Nighthawks have been fighting in all six of those games. I mean, we saw it in the Keene game that was played at Keene. That was a 5-4 loss, but it came down to a play at the plate. Well, some people say that the Nighthawk may have been under the tag. Other people say he was out. The official ruling was out, so... I mean, the Nighthawks got the loss, but again, that just shows how much passion and spirit they have, that they're going full force for these games, even if they're coming out on the losing end.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like this week has been our finest competing. I think that there's definitely some errors that have been going on between all the guys. Definitely communication errors on the defense, especially pitching has been a pretty big struggle for us this week.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest sore spot has been the pitching. The offense has been there. Really spare that one game against North Shore where they got shut out. Around that, it's been a lot of runs put up. Even then, that 5-4 Keene loss that you were talking about, Allie, the team put up four runs on solo shots. If they could have gotten anyone on base for those, you're talking about a different game. But that's the team high this season, four homers in a game with four. Around that, they begin the job done by doing it the other ways. I mean, last night they scored a ton of runs without getting a home run.
Absolutely. And I think because they've been able to score like all those runs, the momentum's there when it comes to batting. I think, again, it's really just the pitching and the errors. I mean, in the Keene home game for the Nighthawks, so different game, that Thursday night, they had six errors in the first inning. So when things happen like that, it's a little hard to come back from. But they do put a fight with the bats, even if it takes four-hour-long games.
Yeah, and thinking about it, too, the last three home games for Upper Valley, 68 combined runs between the two teams. With last night's loss, giving up 12 both ways, stole a lot of runs, but a 12-9 loss to the Vermont Mountaineers. And going back to a couple of games ago, 13-11 loss to Keene, 13-12 loss to Sanford. So it's just a ton of runs put up on the board, and it goes back again to the pitching and the defense. It's just been the thorn in the side for this Upper Valley team over this last stretch, and also for playoff hopes. They've been getting a little bit of help from Valley losing, Vineyard losing, and even Ocean State at this point, but not enough because their backs are firmly against the wall right now.
Yeah, the playoff picture is definitely interesting. But it's just hard to have momentum in games for the Nighthawks when both teams are putting up a few runs every single inning. I mean, it's rare now that we have an inning that no team scores, so... I think it's hard to just have momentum going in because you're constantly trying to one-up the other team. But like you said, playoff hopes not officially over. It seems like it's going to be a hard path, though, for the Nighthawks.
I do think a lot of the guys are really tired, too. It's nearing the end of the season, and a lot of the guys have just been giving their all. And some we have new life injected into the roster with new guys coming in, but I think – a lot of the guys are really tired, so I don't know how it's going to go.
Well, a guy I do want to shout out here, one of the new guys, Peyton Frainer, has been absolutely fantastic for this team at the plate. He got his first homer of the season against Keene, and that one really fired the bench up. Him also getting hit by a pitch also fired the bench up. And one of the underrated part of its game is how close he stands to the plate and still able to get power. He's already been hit by three pitches, I believe, in five or six games with the Nighthawks. And he's also got power, a homer and a double, and hitting over 400 in that small sample size. He's been absolutely everything the Nighthawks could ask for, playing first base, even left field in select games.
He really has been. He is one of those players that's come in and really shown a lot of life at the end of July. I mean, it's hard for the players who've been here since the beginning of the season to just have that same fire and energy that they bring when they come in. But yeah, Peyton Vrainer, really a star of the show. And I think everyone on the Nighthawks benches was just so happy to see him get his home run, even if it did spark some controversy.
So I see you've got the playoff picture pulled up on your laptop here, Allie. It's that time of the season, but looking at it now, the Nighthawks, as things sit, really on the outside, looking in pretty firmly. They need things to go perfectly their way, because looking at it here, the only way they could potentially get in as we speak here on Monday morning is a three-way tie potentially between the Nighthawks, Ocean State, and Valley, because right now the Blue Sox are the seventh seed with a 20-20 record. Vineyard hold that last spot at 20-21. The Ocean State Waves come in 18-23. Same with the North Shore Navigators. Nighthawks one game behind them at 17-24. So the only way that potentially the Nighthawks could get in is the three-way tie between those three teams, the Blue Sox, Waves, and themselves, because they were swept in the season series by both North Shore and Martha's Vineyard. So the potential to get in on a win percentage tie between those teams, out the window. The only chance is potentially a three-way tie between Upper Valley, Ocean State, and the Valley Blue Sox. And even then, that's still up in the air if that's a potential way to get in. Because by the math I was doing, that would set up the potential then, because I think it would be dead even on tiebreaker then between Ocean State and Upper Valley. Valley would then get the 7 seed, and then it would come down to another tiebreaker winning percentage against first place teams between Upper Valley and Ocean State, and that's still up in the air. So they still have something to play for these last few games.
They do. They lost the Governor's Cup last night. But still, I mean, they're praying now for the 7th seed, which I think is interesting. Usually, the past few weeks, they've been trying to sneak into that 8th spot. But it's definitely going to be difficult, especially when I know the guys have really been watching Valley these past few days and just, like, praying for Valley losses. But it hasn't really gone their way.
And it has not helped that Valley has pretty much the easiest schedule you could ask for. A ton of games against North Adams and Danbury here down the stretch. And those are the two teams that have already been eliminated. They do say that the teams that don't have anything to play for are the most dangerous, but that really hasn't proven to be the case. Last night, tuning into yesterday afternoon, since they played a matinee, tuning into the Danbury and Valley game, really interesting one, because Danbury's starting pitcher threw 111 pitches through into the 7th inning and left, in fact, at one point it was a narrow lead for Danbury, but he ended up giving up a base hit and made it a narrow Valley lead, and then they ended up winning 13-5, so they pulled away with it late, and that put Upper Valley in this situation with their loss against the Mountaineers to lose the Governor's Cup and Vermont the regular season title that they would have clinched anyways with Newport's loss last night, but they did it on their own accord. But now it also puts Upper Valley in the situation where they need to win out. The likes of Valley and Ocean State need to lose out to pretty much give them a chance. Well, one more win for a lot of those teams would pretty much seal their fate at this point. But so you're saying there's a chance, is what we're saying.
There's a chance, but it's definitely difficult, going off your point, when I think the Upper Valley has had a more difficult schedule these past few days, having to play Vermont twice, the best team in the league, and having to play Sanford too, and the Swamp Bats at 4-5. I mean, and for the other teams having to play Danbury has 10 wins on the season, mm-hmm. and they hit the 30-loss mark. So it's not really the same, but, I mean, Upper Valley's just kind of in a harder division.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it. The North Division has been a true gauntlet here. I mean, Vermont, you said the best team in the league, but Sanford has the looking at it here over your shoulder here. They have the third best record. Keene has the fourth best record. So if you're going solely based off of win percentage to see the playoffs, you're talking about three teams that are going to get home games. That's not how the playoff picture works. It's the three division winners, and then the four seed hosts the five seed to get home field advantage in the first round. But still, part of the top echelon of this league, that's what they're playing. Meanwhile, everyone that they're hoping needs to lose has a few easier games on the schedule. Nighthawks don't have that kind of luxury, and it leads to that uphill battle. Meanwhile, here, you know, winding down towards the end of the season, we want to let the guys focus on the task at hand to get into the playoffs. So we're going to catch up with some Nighthawks alumni, see how things are going and their journey to get to the promised land, get to the major leagues, and their journeys in the minors. Let's take a listen into them.
We're joined now by 2021 Nighthawks alumni and a Blue Jays top prospect, Alan Roden. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast to talk with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It should be fun.
So, you know, looking back at your time with that 2021 Nighthawks team, a very successful run, but how did that prepare you for your time in the minor leagues and the success you would go on to have?
Yeah, I think summer ball in general, for, you know, college summer ball at least, prepares players pretty well for professional baseball, just in terms of, you know, you're playing every day and, you know, you kind of have to come to the field, get yourself ready to play, and then go. Versus, you know, it might be a little bit different when you're actually at your school, where, you know, things are a little different. You're only playing weekends and stuff like that. So, you know, that summer with Upper Valley, my other summer experiences playing in the summers in college were really good.
Can you think back a little? How did you make the decision to come to play with the Upper Valley Nighthawks?
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, I handpicked them, obviously, right? You know, my coach kind of gave me a couple different opportunities, and but I was also really excited, you know, prior to getting up to Upper Valley, because, you know, I had never spent an extended amount of time in the Northeast. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, went to school in Nebraska. My first summer ball experience was in, you know, Kentucky, but right on the border with Illinois. So I never spent much time in the Northeast. And so I was really looking forward to getting to see a different part of the country. And also, you know, obviously the NACBL has a good track record for quality of play. And so, you know, those were all things that got me really excited to play.
Alan, for you, what was it like getting that call from the Blue Jays organization in 2022?
Yeah, it was really, really unique. And honestly, really special. And yeah, everyone says that, right? But it's I haven't had an experience like that since, and I don't think I will have another one. It was kind of like a culmination of so many different things, and obviously, you know, the work that I put in, but also for me, I felt especially grateful for everyone else that had ever helped me get to that point. You know, the Nighthawks included in that, obviously, is but it was just like, like I said, a culmination of everyone's hard work, everyone's, you know, effort and into my career, my you know, dedication to the sport. And so it was really awesome.
That return to the region here, when you got the promotion to Double A New Hampshire, you're kind of back in this same area here. What was that like coming back up here, but now for a professional opportunity?
Yeah, it was cool. You know, you kind of have a little bit of full circle moment. My host family, not from the Nighthawks, but from the Cape Cod League summer, Cape Cod League host family. You know, they obviously, it's a similar area, right? But they were following me and you know, came up to watch a few of the games in New Hampshire, and so. It was really cool, full circle moment for sure. And I really, you know, love it up there for sure.
You kind of described how your feelings were going to the draft. Of course, that was probably the biggest moment of your career so far. But what exactly was the process? Did you know that you were going to get drafted? And what was draft night like?
Yeah. The draft is such a strange beast. There's so many different angles to it. And it's really, really complicated. It honestly, it's overcomplicated if you ask me, just in terms of how they handle, you know, all the money, but then also, you know, where you're going to go and the pool bonuses, whatever it is. But, so for me, it was just, you know, trusting my agent, trusting my advisor, the person that I decided to, you know, I'll speak on my behalf and the things that I cared about and the things that I wanted. And so, you know, and luckily I had a, you know, someone that was able to do what I wanted, but for me, mainly it was kind of quick. The first night I obviously knew it probably wasn't going to work out for me the first night, but then the second day, was gearing up for kind of a long day. And then, it happened really early on. And then in the day, I almost had to wait like 15 to 20 minutes. So I wasn't really, it was pretty awesome draft day.
Through the process, what was the jump like for you from AA to AAA?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I'm working through right now. And it's really, I would say the interesting thing about it is that there is a huge difference in experience level. In AAA, you know, you have a lot of older pitchers that have a ton of experience, know how to get guys out, and they still have good stuff. And so that's the differentiator there, is that not only do they have good stuff, they know how to use it and they know how to attack hitters. And so working through that, learning about how I'm getting pitched and, you know, making the necessary adjustments where they need to be made, and whether it's physical or mental, that's kind of the big jump right now. And it's been fun trying to work through it.
And, you know, kind of looking at the time here in the Upper Valley, it was really your a jump in competition as well. I mean, you played a little bit in 2020 and 21, but then, you know, coming back here to the Upper Valley, you face a lot of Power Five guys and stuff like that in the NECBL. How did that help with your development?
Yeah. No, you're totally right. 2019, obviously I didn't play. I redshirted, and then 2020, didn't play much before COVID started. I only got one start. But then 2021, I had a good spring, but we had, you know, we barely played. We played 36 games in our season, and that was it. So, you know, the Nighthawks was a really big summer for me in terms of continuing to grow as a player, playing every game and playing more and facing better competition, because that was my, you know, my first taste of it. And luckily, you know, I had a really, really good team and some good coaches that, you know, provided an environment where you can, you know, test things out and try different things and be free to learn yourself as a player. And so, like you said, it was a really beneficial summer for me to, you know, see better pitching and better quality opponents.
To a lot of college players, you're their role model because you're what they're trying to be. Would you have any advice for someone who's in a Nighthawks jersey or just any other college players?
Yeah, totally. Number one thing, find a routine and stick to it. And everyone says find a routine. What it means is do the things that you need to do every day that get you to do stuff, and make it, don't make it like, oh, I'm going to do this. Make it like, oh, this is what I do. So whether it's, you know, getting in the weight room and working on yourself in there, or, you know, a routine that you have in the field that, you know, works on your skills, whether it's on defense or in the cage, whatever it is, find your routine and make it part of who you are as a person. But then also just enjoy it, because, you know, things do move quick in this game, and you know, you don't want to miss out on anything like that. You know, a personal experience that you can have just because you're almost too focused. So those are kind of things I would say.
Kind of a broader question. How do you keep yourself motivated during the season while trying to get that call from the big leagues?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's honestly something that everyone needs to figure out for themselves, is how do you get yourself going to play every day when it seems so far away, I guess you could say. You know, I think there are different tactics to it. For me, it's really about being intentional about, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my task for the day, and I need to do it well because that's the type of person that I want to be. For other people, it could be something else, but that's kind of how I like to go about it. But it's really the thing is who can be the most prepared play, who can be, get themselves going every night to play, I think is you know, sometimes the struggle in when you play so much, but it's also the cool thing that it's a brand new day every day too. So
looking back to your time here with the Nighthawks, what were some of your favorite off day activities and some of your favorite places to eat when post game meals weren't provided?
Oh man, that's a tough question for me because one, I have a really horrible memory, and two, I'm not a foodie. So I eat basically just to survive. And so I basically would almost always just eat whatever was around. I really loved just driving around and being in the, you know, kind of the environment around in Upper Valley. You know, the short drive into New Hampshire and Lebanon is where my host family was. And obviously there's some beautiful, you know, scenery around there, right? That was kind of the thing that I really liked to do. But in terms of restaurants, I'm out. I don't have anything.
That is 2021 Nighthawks alumni and current member of the Buffalo Bisons in Allen Roden. Thanks so much for joining us here on Hawks Talk.
Back here now, Allie Wenskowski, Megan Robinson, Ian Benke here. And, you know, final thoughts here this season, because it could be our last time here at our GM studios talking about this ball club. And it's really been a pleasure to cover them for me for two seasons now and for you guys for just the one season. But it's been a pleasure.
It certainly has been. I mean, for me, it was more unexpected. I think the same for Megan. Yeah. We didn't come in until April or May. And then we were moving to Vermont for this summer. But I can say for me, it flew by. I feel like it was just the first day that me and Megan rolled into Maxfield, met Matt Wright, our GM, for the first time, and then kind of went from there. But I can't believe it's over. I think it was such a fun team to watch all season. They really, even if they were losing, they brought the spirit on the bus with Sarge leading the way. They just had so much character to them. I think it made it more fun to cover.
Oh, yeah. No, I sorry. I feel like the summer flew by, I think also in part because I think we just had so much fun this summer covering games and everything, and getting to know everybody was probably the biggest takeaway, and being able to just know, I guess, everybody's background. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everybody kind of became a family at the end of the day. So it's been a really awesome summer.
Yeah, you said it. Getting to know everyone is the hardest part, because this Nighthawks team did set a team record for the most players contracted in a single season. It's been a revolving door because of injuries, guys just on innings limits going home, guys that, you know, end up getting a different opportunity and choosing to go elsewhere. It's been a very unique season, how many guys have come here to the Nighthawks. But you talked about it, Allie. This team, even when they were losing, they didn't hang their heads. And I think that's the difference from this year's team, from last year's team. It was a brutal stretch to end last season, but you could kind of tell that the things weren't going their way because you had quiet bus rides back. And those were some long bus rides too, going to Vineyard towards the end of the season and things like that. But we have the luxury now of staying within the division to end the year, but also how they're ending it, you know, staying motivated. And I think that's a large part to a first-year Nighthawk here in Devin Drake and how she's really helped the mental performance of this team all year long.
Absolutely. The mental performance has been everything. Devin Drake's, like, visualization. I know the players now look forward to that, which is huge steps from the beginning of the season. And I just think their mindset is better. Even if they're losing, they know that it's really not that deep. It's a summer collegiate league. They're here to prove their stuff, get more at-bats, get used to the wooden bats and things like that, just for the pitchers, get more innings. So it's more of like a learning experience, and I think that's why they started to do so good. They went on that 10-game winning streak because they were honestly just having fun and happy to be here.
Yeah, I feel like people, even coming into the beginning of the season, like Cole Fellows had a kind of rough start in June, and then he really took advantage of Devin and her resources, and he's had a absolutely fire start since it hit July.
Looking forward to see what this team can do down the last stretch of the season if they can get in, but if not, this will be our last time talking to you on the Hawks Talk podcast, and be sure to stay tuned to Nighthawks social media to stay tuned for updates throughout the off season to see what next year's team, what next year's staff is going to look like, because it's going to be a leaps and bounds for next season, and especially on the broadcast side of things, that's where we stay, trying to make an ESPN Plus level broadcast, so more cameras, more resources poured in, and really a professional product here in the Upper Valley. But until then, for Megan Robinson, Allie Wenskowski, my name is Ian Binky. Thanks for tuning in all season long on the Hawks Talk podcast. We'll see you next time, whether it's here in the Upper Valley or elsewhere in our professional careers. Till then, take care and have a good one.